guys.
Hi.
I'm Julian McCullough.
I'm Meg Malloy.
And together we're the Soft Spot. Maybe we shouldn't whisper that anymore.
I'm always going to whisper.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's like a secret.
Yeah. Because I was a part of this show before I was a part of this show. My whisper.
That's right.
My whisper has been at the top of this show since before I was even in it.
Your voice has only gotten louder.
Yeah.
And that's great for everyone. I'm happy.
Except for that one girl on iTunes who said I'm mean to you.
Oh, yeah. I want to defend you, but then I sound like, I'm like in the abusive relationship where I'm like, you don't understand
Well, if
her.
You defend me, then more people are going to be like, he always interrupts Meg.
No, but We're if I trying. Defend you, they're going to be like, you have Stockholm syndrome.
So what if he does?
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think you keep my ego in check. We'll put it that way.
I come from a long line of teasers, and mm-hmm. I think you do too.
I do. I come from a long line of getting teased, and so
oh god, now you're making me sound like a monster.
No, I can really dish it out. I start,
certainly.
Growing up in the Northeast, you do learn to do that a lot,
yeah.
And then it's because it's affection. It's either affection or it's not. But
right.
A lot of times, it's affection to make fun of your friends, and then.
Right.
And then that stayed true through my New York comedy career. And then when I moved to LA, it was like all of a sudden it wasn't cool to do that anymore. Like everybody's supposed to be really nice to each other. And that bugged me for a long time.
Yeah.
But now I feel like it's kind of back. Like I feel like everybody's
teasing
kinda,
is okay again.
Yeah, I think it's okay again.
Yeah, I think as long as you don't cross too many lines, it's
yeah.
probably fine.
Mm-hmm. I think we realize there's enough real problems.
Yeah.
In the world. The world's on fire,
like,
as we keep saying on this show.
Yeah, so. It is.
So if you tell your friend that they their hair looks stupid, then it's fine because there's a wall problem.
Exactly. We got bigger fish to fry.
We do. I was thinking today about I'm wearing my Hank Williams shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm wearing my Diamond Dogs.
You are
original T-shirt.
Is that an original shirt?
Yes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Check the label. Remember, we got this in Phoenix.
I remember when we got it. I didn't know it was original or I would have stolen it from you.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to steal it from me.
Well, that's our kids' college fund. but, yeah, I was thinking about, it reminded me of a mixtape that my dad made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was for me or I just took it. But we used to drive in the car all the time in South Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was never a radio guy. He
right.
would not listen. He was not going to be subjected to other people's ideas. So he would make his own mixtapes.
My dad always did that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad has always made me mixtapes.
Okay, that's so nice.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure
you
this
You found
one...
a bunch of them and you were like, what is this? Remember? It was like bluegrass for Meg, jazz
yeah.
for Meg. And you were like, who the fuck made you these?
Yeah,
and
but
I was like,
drew,
my
like,
dad.
He drew hearts and wieners all over them. and that other mix he called the Hearts and Wieners mix, which I thought was inappropriate. But my dad made me a mix, and it was like he did this style that I'd like to talk to you about because I've never seen other people do this, and I wonder if it's weird.
What?
His approach to the mixtape was two or three tracks from each artist.
Uh-huh.
So it would be like... Three.
A short education.
Kind of, yeah. It's like three Doc Watson tracks, three Emmylou Harris tracks, three Steve Earle tracks, three,
I
you know.
Like that.
Two or three, depending mm-hmm. on the you know. And I thought it's weird. It worked great, but I never saw it before that or after. And mixtapes are kind of gone now. I mean, there's Spotify playlists, but
yeah.
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same.
But yeah, I worship. I love that tape. I miss. Oh God, I miss making those labels. I know people talk about this all the time, but handwriting. Were you tapes? You were after tapes.
No, I was tapes for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely was making mixtapes for a little while. I remember, I had a tape with Green Day when Dookie came out,
mm-hmm.
And Tragic Kingdom, a couple songs from that, and I don't know, random stuff that was on the radio.
Yeah.
But I do remember the first two CDs I got were Tragic Kingdom and First Band on the Moon.
Oh.
Because I've been pretty consistent. I know.
So you liked all kinds of music, good and bad.
Well, no, I'm no longer.
People love No Doubt.
I loved No Doubt when they came out. I was really young. I was in like fourth grade when that album came out.
Yeah.
And she was, if there was anybody to look up to, it was her. She was so fucking cool.
She
just didn't care. She was like, I don't know. She just did whatever she wanted to.
She definitely gave me a pants situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things are a little different now. I can't say I have any awareness of really what she's doing. I know she judges a bunch of reality shows.
Well, who cares now?
You know? Yeah.
But how do you think history has treated Tragic Kingdom?
I don't think that many people saw that as being their best work, which baffles me. Yeah. I think a lot of people were really into early 2000s, like, reggae sort of dance, No Doubt. And that was when I jumped ship. I was like, I cannot.
I thought Tragic Kingdom was their big one.
Tragic Kingdom was pretty great. And
But do you still like it?
Do I still like that album?
Yeah.
I think it holds up. Mm. There are a few songs that are a little too ska heavy for me, but mostly I love that album.
Okay.
And I certainly fucking love Band on the Moon.
You would make...
Wore the shirt that you made for me yesterday.
You did.
I love that. To me, that's one of the most perfect albums ever made.
It's awesome.
And I made my mind up about that at a very young age, so I'm consistent.
What would you make mixtapes for boys?
No.
Really?
No. I don't remember making a mixtape
for anybody. Amazing.
No. I made it for my friends, for my sisters. I don't remember ever making mixtape for boys.
You were so self-possessed.
I was not about to be that vulnerable. No. I don't remember ever doing that. Mm-mm.
Wow. Yeah. Well, and me neither. Okay, let's move on. When I think about it, I thought that I made mixtapes for girls, and I think I probably made one or two. But now that I really think about it, I made them for myself.
Yeah, I made most of mine for myself. I spent so much time in my bedroom that my parents were like, "What's wrong with you?"
You had to. You look back on it, you had to, because there was no real like track to track skipping. There was no, you know,
nothing
best
was on
ups.
Demand unless you had the music in front of you.
Right.
I remember watching The Box, like we've talked about, we touched on briefly, television station that was like, it was just music videos. And you would call and you would do like a 4-digit like code for a video.
Yeah.
And I would sit there and wait for like hours for Loveful to play. Hours.
Yeah. See, that's got to be painful because you're liking a band that's not like the biggest band at the time. And in 1988, I didn't have to wait hardly ever for Guns N' Roses because they were being played constantly. It was awesome.
I remember around the time that I was watching for Loveful, I was also waiting for Sleep to Dream.
Oh, Fiona Apple.
I loved Fiona Apple.
Yeah. She had great videos.
I still love her just as much as I ever did, too.
Yeah.
I think that she has pretty much put out just consistently amazing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she has a little bit of stage fright. I don't know the full background on her, but I'm pretty sure she had kind of a little bit of a meltdown thing on stage once. But I think she's just so...
All the best people have meltdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
On stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's something I remember. Yeah, if you wanted to make sure that you spent the time listening to the music you liked the most, you had to do it yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And I kind of loved that whole attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool. I remember making like collages, like just totally worshiping the musicians that I was obsessed with, making like fan art for them that I never had the balls to send to them, but I would put it all over my walls. And I was constantly drawing and making art and being inside just like I am now.
Yeah.
And so I listened to
I covered my walls in art of mine that for Guns N' Roses, and yours was probably just a higher quality.
Nah, I mean, I made some corny stuff. I know I made some corny stuff.
I will say, and then we should bring our guest on, but I... there, speaking of making mixes, and now that we have everything at our fingertips, we can listen to whatever song we want whenever we want. Nothing beats, and the most memories that I have ever made for me that are connected to music are because a song happened to come on, because the radio did it.
Yeah.
That's because when the radio gets it right, there's really no other... There's nothing better. So there's something to be said for that.
And also... in terms of not being, there are a couple of songs that you just can't find on Spotify. And I'm not talking about like Jay-Z being on Tidal. There are a couple of like rare recordings. It's like, where are they?
Yeah.
And whenever I can't find them, I almost kind of like root for these artists or this. I'm like, it's a fun little secret. It's like this thing that I know that exists that is not. Within arm's reach for everyone, and there's something kind of special about that.
There is. There's a song.
I was looking for a Michael Martin Murphy version of a song called Fort Worth, I Love You. I'm sure nobody knows what I'm talking about, but it's nowhere to be found.
Oh, really?
There are several other versions of it on Spotify, but not the Michael Martin Murphy one, and I can't find it anywhere. And I'm kind of like, that's pretty rad.
Yeah. That's. I love that, too. I know what you mean. It's a wonderful, and then when you find, you become obsessed with finding it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it used to be like for everything, which
I know.
Is so.
You used to have to track it down. Or if you would hear a song somewhere, you couldn't Shazam that shit.
Right.
You had to be like, who is this? And.
Well, this is a song that's about that radio getting it right, getting the moment right. You know, the feeling when a song comes on and it matches your moment perfectly. And it's like, it just really, it freezes that memory in time, like Amber, like Jurassic Park style, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, memory is now a mosquito in Amber and you can, it's perfectly preserved. But this is the Eric Carmen song, Make Me Lose Control, where he's talking about driving down the street with his girl and it comes on the radio. The perfect song. I run a cold view. Everybody, I just want people to remember. If people forget about this song a lot, and they all love it when they hear it again.
You said whenever you played it, I'd know it, but...
You don't know this song?
No.
Well, the chorus is coming real quick, because it's Eric Carmen, and he always gets to the chorus. Ready? It's a climax one. Cruising so close, the way they did long ago.
No.
You never heard this song before?
No.
Guys, that is the last episode of The Soft Spot. I am so sorry. The band is diffusing. No, that's okay. But anyway, a lot of our listeners. If you know that song, please write in and tell us that I'm not crazy, that everybody knows that song. And Meg has a blind spot. Oh. Oh, no.
Yeah. No, I don't know that song. Anyway, let's get to our guest.
Our guest is, he's just a gentle soul. I have known him not very well, but you know those people you meet just a couple times, you're like, that's a great dude. That's
kindred
a really,
spirits.
Through and through, you know they're a good person. This guy is hilarious. He's from Canada. That's fine that he's from Canada.
It's actually great for him.
It is great. Please welcome John Doerr. We have an amazing guest today, and his name is John Doerr from Comedy Central's
Big Questions, Huge Answers.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great. It was a special that I thought was a series.
Well, it was intended to, well, it was hopefully going to be a series.
Yeah.
And it still may be. Who knows? We may take it somewhere else, but it will not be a series on Comedy Central.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's harder to watch on that.
Yeah. But it does air in Canada on the Comedy Network February 8th.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for your Canadian listeners.
We certainly have Canadian listeners.
For sure.
Yeah.
I know for sure we do. We've mailed stickers to Canada, to far, far fucking away in Canada. Like,
watch the language.
I know.
No, that is actually so Canadian. That is so Canadian, by the way. Fucking, it's like, yeah.
You guys have sex?
Yes, yeah. But the word itself is just every, yeah. Like, Julian fucking McCullough. That would be your name in Canada.
I thought that was like more of like a New York City type word.
Well, it could be as well, mm-hmm. but it's definitely Ottawa Valley where I grew up.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. There's
Ottawa, yeah.
Ottawa, capital city, people think government town. But the Ottawa Valley surrounds it, so the accent just kind of weaves its way through. And mm-hmm. then you get Julian fucking McCullough.
Oh, yeah, like
holy
I like
fuck,
that.
Bud.
That's fucking lucky you, bud.
Bud,
holy
I love
fuck.
That.
I feel
this
like we're...
This fucking goof. You know what this fucking goof did in high school? This fucking goof here. Holy fuck.
Man, yeah. That makes it sound like we're best friends right away. I love that.
I know.
The swearing
There's
in
some
Canada.
Real warmth to that.
Mm-hmm.
There is. Actually, well, it's quite nostalgic to me.
A that lot kind of, yeah. A lot of that warmth comes from John. He's mm-hmm. he's got a big heart.
I can feel it.
Yeah. Oversized, apparently. It's a medical condition.
Yeah, it's an oversized heart. It's yeah. It takes up most of my, yeah, most of, like, my
it's
entire
most
body.
Most of your body cage.
Yeah, yeah. They said,
body, it's called a body,
body cage.
They said your body cage.
I call a skeleton a body cage.
It's not actually a body cage. It's inside the skin, so it's not caging you. It's weird.
It's true.
Body
true.
Cage.
It well, is... it cages the gush. The gush inside.
The gush?
Yeah.
What's
I was a doctor.
Gush?
I was a doctor for
that was the Smashing Pumpkins first album, wasn't it?
Gish.
The gush.
Gish.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the gush.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And skeleton cage was track one,
okay.
I believe. Yeah.
And what was Soul Coughing?
What?
That was Soul Coughing.
Was that a pumpkin soup?
No, that was
Soul
a
Asylum?
Band.
It was a band.
Soul no. Coughing and Soul Asylum. Soul Coughing is what you get from being in a soul asylum for too long.
I don't know what Soul Coughing is. I don't know this band.
Anyway, Canada.
Yeah.
That's where you're from.
We're going to get quite Canadian today, I have a feeling.
Let me get this. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You're huge in Canada.
You're
the
already
biggest
wrong.
Star.
You're wrong.
No one's bigger.
It sounds
in
like
Canada.
You're just being really Canadian and modest and polite
yeah.
about it, but.
No, you're wrong. I will tell you when you're wrong.
Just first name on the list. John Doran, Canada.
What list? What's the list that I'm the first name on? I'm probably the most popular unknown. I was lucky enough to do a television show years ago in Canada called the John Doerr Television Show,
mm-hmm.
and it ran for 2 years. So I'm fortunate that there are fans that like that show
okay.
that
mm-hmm.
still come out to see me perform.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a hugely popular show at all. No.
Well, you know what they say.
What do they say?
They say when you close a door,
you go on.
You open America.
Oh man.
Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah. One door closed. How does it go?
You're away? Free to leave this podcast at any time.
Are you being serious?
No.
Okay.
You have to stay.
I have to stay? Okay. Because I was going to be out the door.
Hey!
Back to the door. Yeah. So I feel like today, by the way, is going to be quite a Canadian show.
Oh, I mean, why is that?
Well, I mean, we
will market it as such, so I'm looking forward to this.
We were talking back and forth via text mm-hmm. about, topics for today.
Yeah.
And I racked my brain
you
trying
did.
To think of, well, because I wanted to be sincere and mm-hmm. honest, and I feel like it needs, that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for, like, some sort of silly, you know, thing from my past that is disingenuous. Like,
right.
So you wanted a real, so yeah, I racked my brain and thought, what is something? And so it's actually something quite Canadian.
What is it?
Well, it's a band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not like a food that you can only get in Canada.
No, it's not a food.
Like, what's that called? Allspice?
What?
The chips.
All dressed. Right.
Yeah.
I didn't
what
mean
is
a lot.
That?
All dressed chips are like, I don't know, how would you describe that flavor?
It's like an everything bagel, but a chip is what I'm picturing.
Perfect. That's actually perfect.
But,
yeah.
But it is pretty much.
You.
No, but it is. It's actually like all of the flavors you could possibly combine on a chip. I'm
oh,
assuming.
Wow.
So it would have a little bit of, I don't know exactly. Like imagine it have a little bit of ketchup, a little bit of barbecue, a little bit of dill pickle. Now, dill pickle and ketchup are probably, you know, they make no sense to you, but yeah.
Well, our producer has just put up
barbecue.
The flavor spelled with a U. So you know it's Canadian.
Yeah.
Barbecue, ketchup, salt, and vinegar. That sounds right up my alley, man.
Yeah, it's
actually
good.
Not Canadian, that spelling. It's English.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the English language.
What would the Canadian spelling be?
That would be Canadian as well, but we use the English language. Whereas in America...
We use American.
You just got rid of a few letters here and there.
Yeah.
You were economical. You're like, we don't need a U in here. We get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whereas the proper English spelling would be... the correct spelling.
Also, D-O-R-E is how the English spell door.
sure.
Yeah?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Door. Dore.
Yeah.
Oh, you're...
Are you...
I'm not.
You're not?
No.
I'm a huge, I'm an artist, so I had to ask.
What?
Gustave Doré.
Oh, I see.
That's
yes,
who
I am.
That's
related.
What I was going to ask.
Yes,
I
you are? Ask
yes. For real?
No, not at all. No, I'm, we come, my lineage, it's, I don't know if it was actually the spelling of door. You know what I have to do my family history? I have no idea. I'm actually, I'm not concerned past my grandfather. I never went deeper than that. But
okay.
I think, but it actually, my great grandfather, it would come from Ireland somehow. But
oh.
Door would be some weird spelling, probably influenced by French, Doré, somewhere along the line. But I have no idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't done the deep research. And I don't really care to.
Do you speak Gaelic?
I feel like there's other things I could do. Fitter, you fucking a boot for a quiet. Can you nice it at peace?
Was that real?
Wow, I don't know. It sounded
real. There's no way, if there were any way to check.
Fitter, you fucking a boot for can you nice it at peace?
That is.
I don't know if that is Gaelic, but
it sounds so Gaelic.
It's so beautiful.
I'm pretty
though.
Sure it's a
so beautiful
version. Pretty sure it is a version of Gaelic, but Scottish Gaelic. I don't know. It's fit are you fecking a boot? So it's what are you fidgeting for?
Oh,
like why are you? I think it's what are you fidgeting for? Can't you sit at peace? Can you nice sit at peace?
Wow.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a really great podcast.
I love it.
And someone correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I think fitter you fiacin a boot for, can you nice it, peace?
I think we should just spend the next hour getting that right.
Yeah.
Right. You and I can just keep practicing.
No, I'm not even going to try.
You're so good at accents, though.
Gang doon the braai our de brig.
Uh-huh.
Which is go down the road over the bridge.
Well, everyone knows that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to start at the ground level.
No.
So, sorry, you get in the elevator at the ground floor, and then we'll slowly, you know, head to the penthouse. But yeah, we're going to start with that.
I've tried to do an Irish accent, and it always comes out sounding
everything.
Indian.
No,
so that
everything
is
sounds
not okay.
A little Russian.
No, you haven't heard my Irish. It turns Indian.
I wasn't doing Irish. I was doing Scottish, but let's hear Irish.
He was being sarcastic.
By the way, can I accents are some of my favorite things or impressions?
Yeah, you should hear this one.
But
she won't do it because I'm putting her on the spot.
That's my favorite thing. But the best. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
No, she won't do it.
I can't really do an Irish one very well. I can do French the best.
Yeah, her French.
I can talk like I have a French accent really easily because I was married to a French guy for a long time.
That's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Thanks,
yes, and that's
thanks.
Parisian. That's
yeah.
Very, yeah. Whereas there's Quebecois. French,
right.
Yeah, which is a garbage French. Is that what they call it?
I would never say that. I would never say that.
Well, no, you can't. You're the number one star in Canada. That
I never said
huge,
that either.
So your big Canadian thing is
what?
The Tragically Hip.
But I wanted to do an impression.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Okay.
Well, no, I don't want to do one. I think it's fun when people who can't do the impression try their best to do it.
So, I go.
It's
let's
really
do
fun.
This
we
game.
Can do that. I vow to try my hardest.
I know people who
I'm
will not do it. I know people who will not do it, and it doesn't. It's not fun if you don't do it. But if you do it,
you have to try.
It's fun. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's fun. Now, if you've never done it, maybe you've tried it, and it's not a hard one, but it's a fun one.
Okay.
Sean Connery.
Okay.
So, but we should find something to say. So, how about why are you fidgeting? Can't you sit at peace?
Ah.
As Sean Connery, but you got to just do it right away.
All right.
And go.
Why are you fidgeting?
It's hard. Isn't it the best? I love it. It's always a giggle fest.
I
suggest saying show to start it. Just to go so yeah, show.
Show. Show.
Why are you fidgeting? Show. Can't you sit
Why are you fidgeting? Can't you shit still?
Oh, not bad.
It's pretty good.
Most people do shit still, but some of them move around a lot.
What about Christopher Walken? Just do it. Just do it.
Oh, he can do it? He can do this.
Why are you fidgeting? Can't you sit in pace?
It goes. Everyone smiles. It's good. It's a fun game. You just do it.
It is a fun game.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Drop your panties.
Is
what
there,
movie was that from? Was that
drop
a Connery?
Drop your panties?
Didn't he say that in a movie? Drop your panties.
That must have happened to you in an elevator or something.
I don't know. I thought that was a Sean Connery.
Maybe it is. I don't
Maybe
know.
It's not.
Would have worked on me.
I haven't seen it. Okay. I haven't seen many Sean Connery movies. I think Red October.
Oh, yeah.
Where really?
Where he's the Scottish-Russian sub-commander.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone speaks in a Russian accent except him, the lead.
He's just Scottish for no reason.
They just let him go with it, I guess. I don't know. I'd love to know more about that.
They were like, Sean, can you do a Russian accent? And he's like, no. And they were like, okay.
You're hired.
Who's the Alec Baldwin? What character does he play in that film? It's one of those Jack Ryan? Is he a Jack Ryan?
Oh, that's right.
I think it's one of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other stuff Sean Connery has been in, and I am
Bond.
Blank.
Well,
yeah,
Thunderball,
obviously.
Yeah,
Thunderball.
Yeah, Thunderball.
What's that?
Thunderball.
No, it's a James Bond.
Oh, that's a James Bond.
Yeah, it might be the first one, I think. Is it Thunderball the first one?
I don't know the names of the...
Of the movies?
Nope.
I was never a Bond guy.
I'm not a huge Bond person yet.
I never really got into it.
The new Bonds are great. The Daniel Craigs I'll watch.
I watched a couple of those. I like those.
They're exciting. They're fun. They're like Mission Impossibles. But,
I feel like nothing can make people more mad than saying, I like the new Bonds.
Probably.
Never cared for the old Bonds.
George Lazenby.
Yeah.
Now I gotta know how old Sean Connery is, because I keep thinking he must
Let's guess, John.
I am going to say, when was Thunderball? And God, he's got to be 80.
Oh, 80s, huh?
I'd go 81.
Okay.
Wow, I'm going to say.
Julian McCullough, what is your guess?
77.
You're wrong. He's right.
88.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, 88. He's old as shit.
You did not win both showcases, though.
Age 88. Born in 1930.
Oh,
look
my
at
God.
That.
He's older than my grandfather.
He is really old.
Who I previously thought was the oldest
man.
Oh,
yeah. He's in Highlander.
Oh, he's a Highlander.
He was in
That's
Highlander.
That's where he tells him to drop her panties.
Maybe.
In Highlander.
I might be inventing that.
The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Hunt for Red October, Murder on the Orient Express. Mm-hmm.
And then he had that weird interview with, was it Barbara Walters? I can't remember, where he talked about keeping women in line.
Oh, yeah. That was... He talked about slapping
him. Yeah, exactly. He's like, you got to slap him around every now and then.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing.
But now that we know how old he is, he does come from a different time.
he literally does.
And country.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, are we ready?
Sure.
Okay. Your soft spot is the band.
Yeah. I'll say the band, The Tragically Hip.
The Tragically Hip. Who, does that do anything for you? The Tragically Hip? The name?
No. No.
But you've heard
I've heard of them, but it's not a band I ever got into.
Yeah.
Not because I heard it and was like, "Ugh, this is garbage."
Right.
Just never happened for me.
As
so
a band name.
Educate me.
As a band name, I love it. I think it's a great band name.
I love the name.
Yeah.
I think it comes from a Tom Robbins book, possibly.
Okay.
Maybe
Forgot
not.
Forgot about that guy.
Tom Robbins?
Yeah.
Skinny legs and all.
Yeah.
Another roadside attraction.
Clock something.
What?
Was it
Clockwork? What? Oh,
what's the one with the hummingbird or the?
Yeah, I don't know, but you're right.
There's a bird one.
Yes, there is one.
I was an English major.
But another roadside attraction to Tom Robbins' book was that was the name of their the Tragically Hip's outdoor tour they would do every summer was another roadside attraction. So there was some sort of affinity to
smart.
Tom Robbins. But yeah, so Tragically Hip. So when we were talking about this, I really had to zero in on something, and I tried to figure out. And I think this is it. I think it has to be this.
Yeah.
But so just to give you an idea, and some Canadians might be tired of this already because it's been a bunch of years of Gord Downie's the lead singer, and he's the ultimate
Gord?
Human being. Gord Downie. Yeah.
Like Gord, like a squash.
Gordon Edgar Downie. No,
oh, Gordon.
Gord.
Oh, it's
like Gordy
Gordon.
Howe.
Okay, got it.
Does that reference work for you,
Gord?
Too?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Gord.
Detroit Red Wings?
Yeah, I know Gordie Howe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So Gord, he is the lead singer of the Tragically Hip, and he's a very important person.
Okay.
And his lyrics are mysterious, and you'd have to interpret them yourselves. It's not like he comes out and tells you this is exactly what the song means, and they're quite
esoteric. I like that. I'm a Smiths fan, I like that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I got about 3 Smiths songs in me, and then I got to tune out. But then I tune back in. Back.
Yeah.
I just, at this point, love the Smiths. I got about 3 songs, and then they start to kind of all sound...
You're a Small Doses Smiths guy.
I am. Great name for a band, by the way, the Small Doses.
It is. It really is.
Do we just do short sets? We're in, we're out.
Yeah, just never get tired of us.
Beautiful
just give you a
hooks,
taste.
But the song is only 30 seconds long.
Well, now that's another idea my friend Tim and I had called the first verses. We just do the first verse of songs, and that's it. And we're done. Just to get you liking it, and then we move on.
And then imagine how good the chorus would be.
Choruses.
Move
that's
on.
Another
we got to move on.
Yeah. But we're opening for the choruses.
Yeah.
So, you get to hear. Anyway.
That always reminds me of the Roxette has 2 great greatest hits compilations, and one of them is called Don't Bore Us, Get to the Chorus.
Oh, okay.
And the other one is All Killer, No Filler.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I did not know any of that. So, Roxette has 2 greatest hits.
Well, they're from Sweden.
Okay, fair enough.
Sweden is like a hit machine. Like, they just, everything that comes out of there is pretty good. Are you a Cardigans fan?
I am a Cardigans fan. Not only do I...
Like a real Cardigans fan?
Well, okay, you know what? I enjoy the Cardigans.
Name seven
what
albums.
I know of them. I can name... You know what? I can probably name one.
We'll take it.
I think it was self-titled.
The Cardigans. No!
Whichever one, when I... It was like 95-ish with their...
First Band on the Moon.
Maybe. I don't know.
With yeah. Love Fool on it?
But I love Cardigans.
Yeah.
I wear them. I've worn them
You're
my whole life.
You're wearing one right
I'm
now.
I'm wearing one today. Yeah. Yeah. And people who know me know I wear Cardigans quite a bit.
Name but, 8 colors of Cardigans.
8 colors?
Yeah.
So I have to name 8 colors.
Yeah, yeah. To prove that you're a Cardigan fan.
That I have Cardigans. I also have multicolored Cardigans. So yeah,
ooh.
We're getting into a whole thing here.
Wow.
But yeah, no, I mean, I don't dislike the Cardigans. Let me put it that way. Yeah. And what I've heard of the Cardigans, I enjoy. Yeah.
It's,
you love the Cardigans.
I love the Cardigans.
I love the Cardigans.
I mean, you can deeply appreciate them and you'll never be disappointed.
You know
They're
what?
Great.
I got to go back then.
So overlooked.
But this is kind of getting into the world of what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
Tribes of the Hip, in that, you know, Cardigans are popular and mm-hmm. they're definitely worldwide, but they would also have to find their audience, right?
Yes.
And so, yeah. Or the audience found them, whatever it is, but they have a loyal audience.
Yeah. I think people that love them. Mm. Like, yeah. There isn't really any in between, but there are not a lot of us that really love them.
Right.
I think that they came about in a time where, like, the Spice Girls were really big and there were all these big things happening and there just wasn't really, like, a space for them to really blow up.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
Also, I don't think they care about fame.
Yeah.
No, they never really seemed like they were trying really hard. But the Tragically Hip feels like that to me, too. Like, they weren't, like, trying to get as big as possible. Although, maybe they were.
Well, I think you leave fame to... I mean, you can't really control it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
I think. But one thing's for sure, the Tragically Hip is a band that works hard every night. And here's something I love about them. Like, it's not like they come out and try and get the crowd going by saying, sing along. They are just, they hit the stage, they rock for 2.5 hours, and that's
Whoa.
The show. Yeah. They are, yeah, incredible.
I'm 39. That sounds long.
What, 2.5 hours? Well, yeah, it might be long. But yeah, probably about 2 hours, yeah. But they would come down to America. This was the best part about Tragically Hip. Well, one of the things with Tragically Hip is that they're massive in Canada, right?
Uh-huh.
Massive, to the point where they would sell out...
Like you, John Doerr.
18,000-seat arenas for 2 nights in a row.
Wow.
You know?
That's insane.
Yeah, like the Beatles of Canada, right? But only Canada. And then they come to America, and immediately their popularity diminishes. But then I get to go see them at the Troubadour.
Yeah.
So this stadium band in Canada,
right.
I now get to see in the United States, you know, at these small venues. And it was so great. I don't know if you can say that about a lot of bands that are that popular in one country and not in another. But I love the fact that they keep touring. They kept pushing. They just do the world, and they always have. But anyway, do you want to get into why I chose Tragically
Hip? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Please.
So I was trying to think of, you know, some sort of thing that reminded me of all these feelings. And the Tragically Hip, if I went through their entire discography, did I still say that? Albumography.
Yeah.
I would probably be able to figure out exactly where I was when every single album came out, what I was feeling, what I was doing. So, all those memories are quite fond. They remind me of Canada. They remind me of the summer. They remind me of Gord Downie, who is probably the most beautiful Canadian in every sense. They remind me of girlfriends, first loves, breakups, drugs, like everything.
All
the good stuff, exactly. So, yeah, it reminds me of everything. So, yeah.
Are you sensitive about your age? This is
how, in what way? Like,
will you tell people how old you are?
Yes, I will.
Okay, because
I'm 22.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, do I have to be honest about it?
No, it doesn't matter. But what I was gonna say is
I'll
first
tell you my
album,
age, of course. Yeah,
is the Tragically Hip. It's eponymous.
I wouldn't call. Oh, what?
Hmm.
What did you say? Their first
eponymous.
What's that mean?
It's when the name is just the name.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
Because I'm not saying it right.
Okay. I don't think I'd know it anyway.
The eponymous means...
So their first album, though, was not a traditional album. It was like about 5 tracks, I think.
Eight songs. 1987.
Yeah, so don't worry about that album.
Okay.
We're going to talk... And that's fine, but we're going to start with Up to Here, which is 1989.
1989.
Yeah, so we do Up to Here, 1989.
Okay. And so how old were you in 1989?
Well, so 89, it's a bit early. I found the Tragically Hip probably, I found that album after, so it's a bad one to start with, but an incredible album.
Right.
So, like, front to, like, first to last song, unbelievable.
So was this the first album you found by them? Or did you find
So the first album I ever heard was Road Apples, which would be their 1990 or 91 release.
It says 91.
91 release. Okay. And so this is an incredible album that starts to get radio play all over Canada.
So where were you when you found Road Apples?
This is Road Apples. This is, Little Bones, the track one from Road Apples. I was at a house party. I remember exactly where I heard it. And I was at a house party and I was listening to this album. Yeah. And, I just love this band, and everyone loved this band. It was like, remember, I don't know if you remember, well, you'd remember, every house party, you go to just the CDs that were scattered about. Like, when I was growing up, it was always, every house party had the same CDs. It was the Zeppelin box set, it was Steve Miller Band.
Yes. It was Tom Petty's Greatest Hits.
Tom Petty's Greatest Hits, for sure.
Bob Marley's Greatest Hits.
Bob Marley was there. That double album, yeah.
Joshua Tree.
Joshua Tree, for sure. And then, Smashing Pumpkins. Whatever was going on, Blind Melon, and then they're all in Canada. It was always the Tragically Hip, like a ton of Tragically
Hip
albums.
So I'm guessing you guys are the same age, yeah?
Well, I'm a little older. Yeah. How old are you?
39.
39. Yeah. So I'm older than you.
Okay.
Yeah.
You look great.
Thank you.
You do.
Appreciate it.
All right, Meg.
You know what? I did.
Sorry,
make
I mostly say these things too to get a rise out of old Julian.
Okay.
I did make a mistake, by the way. If there was any way earlier.
Oh
you
yeah,
had,
well
yeah.
I
if
tried
I
to warn you.
If there's any way, I could get another water. Do you think that could happen?
Old soda? What do you call it?
Old soda. The dude. A couple old sodas, Gary.
How old were you at this house party?
Oh, geez. So 91, I would have been 16.
Okay.
Yeah. Born in 75. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Right in the sweet spot of give me music, give me belonging. Like, everyone else likes this band. I do. But then really, really got into this band and started going to concerts. Way too young to be going to concerts. Mm-hmm. Like, taking LSD, going to concerts, and rocking out in general admission with people smoking pot. And, it was great. So, yeah, this album just reminds me of youth and probably getting into trouble and leaving the house and finding excuses and arguing with parents and that kind of thing. So,
were you
a bad kid?
I don't think I was a bad kid. I definitely wasn't a good kid. I was, I probably was a kid who was not around. I mean, I just stopped going to school and started doing drugs and didn't listen to my parents. So...
If that's
so
bad,
that.
If that's
yeah.
bad,
yeah.
then if I'm bad.
Okay.
But I don't think I was bad, though. I think.
Okay.
I mean, what was bad
like,
about
so heart?
So your parents were like, all right with it?
No, not at all. No, that was the problem. I think we were, that was like, growing up felt gray, if that makes any sense. My high school, my early high school years felt gray, if I could assign a color to them.
Yeah. Like the weather?
Yes, like a sad day.
Yeah, oh, wow. It
was
lots of them?
Lots of sad days. We'll call them sad years. Mm. But they weren't sad. They were just kind of bland. Like, there was, I don't know, our house just felt cold and empty, and it was Canada, and...
Mm-hmm.
It got dark early and it was freezing.
Did you have a bunch of siblings?
I had a younger sister. Mm-hmm. I still do. Sorry. I have a younger sister.
Yeah. I was like, way to go, Meg.
Yeah, it's a headbird joke we're doing now. Yeah. I had a younger sister. I still do, but I used to do
that.
So it was just like this, I don't know, it was just like boring. I'm latchkey kids, our parents were at work.
Me too.
You know, you too?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then parents would come home and mom would start screaming, and rightfully so in a lot of cases. And for 2 hours I would terrorize my
She's
sister
like, where is the house?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there used to be a wall here.
Yeah.
What happened to this wall?
Well, we wanted an open floor plan.
But to this day, when I hear people walking, like if I'm downstairs, if I'm in my apartment and I hear someone walking above in the apartment above, like I still kind of have this, traumatic knee-jerk reaction of anxiety, because I used to feel that when I could hear my parents' footsteps upstairs.
Oh, wow.
I'd be down in the basement watching TV, and I'm just like, something horrible is about to happen.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Jonathan?
Oh, dear.
Jeez. Yeah, you should drive me nuts. So, yeah, just bleak.
Yeah.
Gray childhood.
That's a good... Waiter. Well, first of all, Canada has a lot of wide open spaces. I've performed
wide
there many times.
I know. I was like, don't sing it.
I have no choice.
Make a big mistake.
Which one is this?
It's a Dixie
Chicks. Dixie Chicks.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't need to get into that. Well, we do a tangent on the Dixie Chicks.
I know every single word from that album.
Everything so far has been a tangent. You're the only one keeping this on track. So
I saw them in concert.
Did you?
I did. Yeah.
She played, that was like a band that in high, I was in high school when the Dixie Chicks were out.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's like overproduced country. Like, it's not what I'm going to be into. I'm into like rough and tumble country. And then she played it for me in the car like a little while ago. And I was like, this is great.
Yeah.
You know,
it's fun. They're fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out you're not always right when you're in high school.
I don't think they were trying to create super deep, like heavy stuff.
No.
It's supposed to be light. Good time. There are a couple deep cuts on there, but
they're melodic. Their harmonies are great. I love Dixie Chicks. Yeah,
mm-hmm. They're on the right side of history.
Yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before you start ripping into the Dixie Chicks again, like you just did.
Yeah,
I don't know if you did or not.
I don't remember it being gray. I remember it being.
Ooh,
I remember,
speaking of Canadians and country, Shania. What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Shania Twain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she back?
Well, she's I don't know. I've seen her in the media a few times. I feel like she must be trying to perform or come back in some sense, right? I mean, she's been on a couple of big TV shows. I've seen internet stories. So I don't know what back is, but yeah.
I feel like that album has some crazy record attached to it.
Which album? It's the number one selling... She's the number one selling female solo artist of
from
all time.
Timmins, Ontario, Canada. You ever been to Timmins?
No. No.
So wait a minute. What's the number one selling album?
I'm not sure.
Come on over.
It's one of two stats that you're thinking of. She's either the number one selling female recording artist of all time, or she's the... Oh, that's okay. That album is the number one selling female album of all time.
Okay, fair enough.
You can open it.
I don't know any of these things. So.
Let's take a quick break.
Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service that finds and delivers clothes, shoes, and accessories to fit your body, budget, and lifestyle. The sign-up is super fun, it's easy, it only takes a few minutes, and you get to pick out the kind of stuff that you're into, if you like to accessorize, what kind of textures you're into, and from all of that information, they will pair you with your very own personal stylist who will then handpick 5 items to send right to your door. Just go to stitchfix.com/softspot, tell them your sizes, what styles you like, and how much you want to spend on each item. Then you just try them on, pay only for what you love, and return the rest. Shipping, exchanges, and returns are always free. There's no subscription required. You can sign up to receive scheduled shipments, or you can just get your fix whenever you want. Stitch Fix's styling fee is only $20, which is applied toward anything you keep from your shipment. Get started now at stitchfix.com/softspot, and you'll get an extra 25% off when you keep all 5 items in your soft spot. That's stitchfix.com/softspot to get started today. stitchfix.com/softspot.
Guys, starting a healthy routine and sticking to it are two very different things. Nobody's perfect, but we can do better. And that means we can be better at brushing our teeth. Quip is the better electric toothbrush that can help. They have sensitive sonic vibrations for an effective clean that's gentle on your sensitive gums. Why do we need this? People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive.
I personally love Quip because the brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. A friendly reminder when it's time for a refresh and to stay committed to your oral health. 75% of us use old, worn-out bristles that are ineffective. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association, and they're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, including my father, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews.
I love Quip, too. It's even cool-looking, which I like. They have over 1 million happy, healthy mouths to do. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/softspot right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/softspot. Get Quip.
Nice to be close to Griffith Park too.
Yeah,
like just
we're close to the park. You can walk to the most expensive grocery store in Los Angeles, Gelson's, yeah, in Silver Lake.
Yeah, I love Gelson's. The Silver Lake Gelson's not my favorite. They don't make a hearty vegan vegetable soup on a regular basis.
Are true. You a vegetarian?
No, but their vegan soup is great.
Mm. Oh, mm-hmm. Good to know. Mm-hmm. I am vegetarian, so I'm always looking for hot tips like this.
Get the hearty vegan vegetable. It's like a fucking stew of soup, but it's a broth, but it's just filled with potatoes and carrots and like every great vegetable. It's so good.
Cool.
It does sound good. They don't have it at that one, though. So
They do spring vegetable, and it drives me nuts.
So do they have it at the one, where's the other one, the one in Hollywood?
That's the one I go to. Mm-hmm. And so they used to have it every day. It was a staple, just like the chicken noodle. They have it every day. And then all of a sudden they pulled it, and now they don't have it every day. They have it occasionally. Mm. It drives me nuts. Like some days I'll go in to get my hearty vegan vegetable. They don't have it. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to the bread section and just squeeze two loaves into nothing. just so they learn. Yeah. They'll make the connection one day. Every time we don't make this,
that's
soup,
how I handle
our
conflict.
Bakery section, yeah, our bakery section gets
suffers.
Destroyed.
Yeah,
it's domestic terrorism. There's no way around it. But
is it domestic?
You're right. I'm a Canadian. You're right. Oh my God, it's international espionage. No, it's not espionage. You're right.
Is there a more Canadian terrorist act than squeezing bread too hard?
There is. It would be called the FLQ, the Front Libération de Québec.
Oh, that sounds like a nightclub.
It does.
Are you guys going to the Front tonight?
Yeah.
The Front Libération, fucking English. If you grew up in Ottawa, by the way, where I grew up, so Hull was right across the bridge, Quebec. Mm-hmm. And so there, anyway, this is a whole other tangent that I don't want to get off on.
That's fine.
But Le Front Libération de Québec would not be an acceptable name for a club.
It would not.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, this is a terrorist organization.
Oh, okay.
That not only killed people, kidnapped people.
Oh, wow.
Killed, like, yeah, it was crazy. Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the father of Justin Trudeau, had to, implement the War Measures Act in 1970. So,
wow, you know your stuff.
No, I don't. Every Canadian knows this.
That's just Canadian schooling, better.
It's like knowing road apples. Every Canadian knows road apples.
That's absolutely, probably true. Yeah. Some people, by the way, resist the tracks of the hip, and that's,
because they're too big in Canada?
I don't know. I mean, I just think they're an odd band. There's no question. Like, if you fall in love with them and get into their stuff, I think, and if you love Gord and his lyrics, then you'll have fun with them. But, some people just can't stand them. Much like a lot of people can't stand the Front Libération de Québec. Yeah.
What, is there a tragic?
I thought you were going to say the Smiths. It's true. A lot of people hate the Smiths, but also the terrorist organization. I'm sure a lot of people hate that.
Yeah, terrorism ain't too cool. It's gauche, I think they say now, to use another French word. But and then that was back when they negotiated with terrorists. So they flew a lot of them to Cuba. These guys. They eventually did some time, but yeah.
That almost sounds like a punchline at this point, because all you ever hear is we don't negotiate with terrorists. For them to be like, that was when they negotiated with terrorists. sounds like it was a joke, but real thing.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah.
Okay, so can you think of a...
I can.
If you're at home and you're listening to this or in your car or whatever, we're sorry if this has jumped all around, but that's the way it goes.
That's the way it goes, man.
Can you think of a song by the Tragically Hip that reminds you of like a girl, like a your first girlfriend?
No, but I'll just tell. I'll tell you. Yeah. Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes. So, if Trouble at the Hen House.
Okay.
Which is the name of the album? So it came out in '96. And
correct.
Yeah. And I know, Julian. Jesus. Unbelievable. When I say something, I know it.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Yeah.
So anyway, Trouble at the Hen House. So Ahead by a Century, which would be track three, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. So track three would be. Let's go track by track, see if I know them.
Okay, let's do it.
Gift Shop.
Correct.
Springtime in Vienna.
Yes.
Head by a Century.
Uh-huh.
This one, Don't Wake Daddy.
Yeah.
I don't know the next. Oh, Flamenco.
Yes.
And then Butts Wigglin'.
You missed one.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Butts Wigglin'?
Yeah.
That one actually is not a tradition.
Motherfucking
jiggling. That's not a traditional Tragically Hip song. That they wrote that for the movie Brain Candy,
with the Kids in the Hall. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's actually I don't even consider that one a real Tragically Hip track. Okay. Although it's kind of fun. Which one am I missing?
Flamenco.
Give it to me. I don't know.
700.
Oh, 700 Foot Ceiling. Then Flamenco. Then Coconut Cream.
Missed another one.
Oh, which one?
It's about living in an
apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah, my apartment. My apartment song. Yeah, uh-huh. Apartment song, then it's Let's Get Engaged, then it's Sherpa, and then it's Put It Off.
You got it.
There we go. All right. Anyway, that was just me showing off, I think.
Uh-huh.
Canadians, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if you listen to...
You know Dave Holmes did that for the Wilson Phillips album?
Did what?
He listed every track.
Well, I'm going to do it again with the next album. Okay.
For Wilson Phillips?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think... I couldn't yeah. That no. would, if it gunned to my head, I'd be dead. Yeah. I could not answer a single track.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, so if you listen to Headway Century Track 3, that should do it for you okay. if you guys want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, here it is. Yeah, beautiful.
Oh, yeah, their sound did change over time.
Well, yeah, and different, yeah. But there was always, you know, I felt like in the 90s there was always that one track. Like, you had to have a Wonderwall, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
something acoustic mm-hmm. and reflective and mm-hmm. whatever. Although this album was a complete departure for the Tragic Hip, in my mind. Like, it started the album before, but this album was great. But so, this album in particular, I was dating a girl. I remember we the day it came out, we drove to the record shop and bought the CD. Huge lineup. And I remember waiting in line, picked it up, listened to the CD in the car.
Line up is a Canadian
track.
Term for line.
Oh, is that right? You'd yeah. say line? Huge
We'd just
line?
Say a line. Huge
okay,
line.
Yeah, well, it might be a huge line. I don't
a
even
Q?
Know if it's a Canadian thing. A Q, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like Q.
Do
yeah.
you guys not use Q? I thought you guys, like,
Q up?
Casually used French words, like...
Right, but it's more of a... Isn't that a British term?
Is it
Q up British?
Is it?
Q is British, yeah.
Is it?
It is.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, form the Q.
You should hear her British accent.
No!
Let's hear it.
So no, good. We don't need to do that.
Sing Wonderwall. Do some tangents. Manchester.
Okay.
So we sat in the car and listened to every single track, and I remember mm-hmm. that moment feeling warm. I remember the temperature of the day. I remember exactly... Yeah, it was just
what
springtime.
What was her name?
Well, I'll give you the first name.
Yeah,
Lori.
Lori?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, that was doomed, by the way, that relationship, but I didn't realize it.
And how old were you?
Well, 96, so I was 20, just almost 21. I was 20.
Is there a better experience than listening to, I mean, it's so rare that this happens, that what you just talked about mm-hmm. is so rare, even in life, but then like now, especially because of the way that
Doesn't
music
happen.
Release, but to ever be with someone romantically mm. and then a band you both love puts out a good new album.
Yep.
There's something very romantic about deliberately like going to a place and waiting in line and like the tangible mm-hmm. album in your hands. It's not as cool. We were driving the other day and he was like, I can't remember which band it was. He was like, so-and-so came out with a new album and we just pull it up on Spotify.
Right. Yeah. I know.
And that's kind
of
a bummer.
The romance is lost a bit.
Yeah. Like, the ritual of going to the record store is like dead.
Yeah. The queuing up, the I need to hear this immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That feeling, going with friends, interacting mm-hmm. with other people who are there, seeing who listens to the same music as you.
The
yeah.
camaraderie of everybody who's yeah. like a big fan.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the challenge of life too. Like, it's like, well, I don't drive and I'm not like, I got to get to this record store. I live in the suburbs. Like so yeah. it was always, hey man, can you drive me to, like, there had to be phone calls and mm-hmm. you had to figure things out.
Mm-hmm.
And I also miss the idea of, like, remember getting concert tickets back in the day? Like I remember calling Ticketmaster.
Yes,
and
yeah,
going
calling Ticketmaster and waiting yeah. on the phone. Or yeah. yeah. It's just nothing's the same.
I remember yeah. it being news stories when a big album would come out because yeah. of the frenzy at the stores.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember when Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 finally came out after
yeah,
Appetite.
I remember this as well.
And the news was, like, covering it like it was going to yeah. be a real problem for everybody because of the lines.
That
the
was
lineups.
The big news.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. It wasn't the wall.
I got it first day
It wasn't
well.
The border wall.
But anyway,
it
that was, sounds like yeah. a wonderful, that's a wonderful
well, so
memory
even,
there.
Even better. So, before they released this album, mm-hmm. they used to do these small venue performances, and they would never announce it until the day of.
Wow.
And but you'd get a whiff of they might be playing here kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so one night we're driving back. She's driving me home. She lived way out in the outskirts. She was driving me back to my place, and we're hearing on the radio the Hip might be playing. We don't know where.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, God, I bet you it's Barrymore's. I should just go to Barrymore's right now. It's 3 a.m. You know, I should just go right now and wait, because the second they announce it, and if that's
people are gonna cancel,
it's done. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah. So,
and what size is a Barrymore's?
Oh, Barrymore's is, it would be like maybe 500, 750,
oh, okay, small.
Maybe 1,000. Yeah. I don't know, but small for mm-hmm. a huge band. But the idea was, it was always to test their new album out. And so she's driving me home, and I make the decision. You know what? I'll get up early and go if it's announced.
Right.
So I sleep. Well, I wake up and my alarm goes off, and it's the radio station saying they're lining up at Barrymore's. And uh-huh. I'm like, oh, damn. So I get on my bike. It's got to be like at least 10 miles.
Whoa!
No, jeez. Not 10. Maybe, yeah, anyway. Well, 6 miles. Who knows?
And well, who I knows? Just because you know it as kilometers.
Kilometers, yes. But I should still be able to do the conversion.
So it's like 40, yeah. 42 kilometers?
Is yeah, that about? It was essentially, yeah, it was like Indiana. I had to traverse Indiana. Yeah. So I raced down there on my bicycle, and the lineup's already wrapped around the block a million times. And it wasn't
heartbreaking.
One of those, and we knew the, anyway, so there was no, we didn't get in. But but that night, I remember vividly, again, because it's the hip and because it's this moment, we end up going to the bar across the street, and then it's this beautiful collection of people that couldn't get in that are now singing hip songs. Anyway, every memory associated with most albums, and especially this one, was beautiful and great. So yeah, I remember those summer days, and yeah, it was great.
Was there a song that you would take the lyrics and write them down and give them to her?
No. No way. What do you mean?
Nothing. That sounds so stupid. Why would anybody do that?
There's a lyric in there.
So, which song did you do that for?
I did it.
Great question.
I did it with you. With the Bob Dylan
song. Oh, with the Bob Dylan. Yeah.
Okay, talk.
Well,
what happened?
Okay.
You guys are great.
We started out long distance.
Yeah.
And Bob Dylan has a song, a rare personal song.
Okay.
Called Tomorrow is a Long Time. And it's about...
I get this. I might cry.
Long distance.
I honestly might.
I might cry. When we met, I lived in New York.
Yeah.
He came up to me. We've never even talked about it on here.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, how many episodes deep? We've never talked about it.
Well, you know what? I have a way of bringing this kind of stuff out. So
you
go
really
ahead.
Do. Yeah,
go ahead.
It's very sweet.
It's your kind eyes.
Go ahead.
It is.
Yeah.
So I lived in New York.
My kind eyes. Okay, go ahead.
And Julian just came up to me. As I was sitting on a stoop eating nachos.
Wait, this is New York City, Manhattan?
Yeah.
St. Mark's.
In the East Village.
And you were just sitting down?
I was sitting there with a friend of mine.
It was at night.
Right.
It was at night, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Julian just came up to me and wouldn't leave me alone until I agreed to have a drink with him.
And 20 minutes later, no exaggeration, maybe a half an hour at the outside, I told her I loved her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have goosebumps.
That was 15 years ago. Oh, no, wait, sorry, that wasn't you. No.
So you were sitting down, how did you approach, what was your approach? What did you say? What was the first
thing?
It
was a fairly empty street that time of night.
It was on St. Mark's. I don't know if you're familiar.
There weren't a lot of people out.
I was out alone.
I was out alone, and
alone?
I noticed first was these two women sitting on the stoop with amazing hair. They both had incredible hair.
Yeah.
And I noticed that first out of the corner of my eye. I was like, wow, that's some good hair on both of these ladies.
Yes.
And then I was like, I had a great opening line. I forget what it was, but it was awesome. And there's some...
What was the opening line?
There is some argument over what the line
was.
He was
like, he came and stood in front of me and like stared at me for a second and goes, that bar sucks.
Pretty good, right?
And pointed at the bar he had
Pretty
just
good.
Come out of. And
that's
I was like... I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bro.
By the way, we're the same person. That's exactly what I would say.
Yeah.
Don't know what to say. Just, that's not good.
That's, you look what, better than that.
You are better than where I was at. okay, so.
My argument is that I said, what happened to this neighborhood? Which neither one is good. So no, I don't know why I argue.
He goes, but they're that both- bar sucks. And then I just was like, what is wrong with this person? And then he was like, I'm Julian. I'm a comedian. I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I love
well, normally
this so
somebody
much.
Gives people your credits, but I had to do it.
No, yeah, you weren't with an MC. You were on your own.
I had to introduce myself.
I can't tell if that makes the story more adorable or creepier. The fact that you were by yourself.
It's borderline.
It's borderline, but it's adorable.
Yeah. And then he asked to sit with us, and I was like, whatever.
I wouldn't even look at him.
Okay.
And my friend was like, sure, why not? And then he just kept trying to talk to me, and I saw that he was very nervous.
Yeah.
We had nachos and we offered to share some with him and he was like picking them apart into pieces. And I was like, he's so nervous right now. Mm. Maybe he's really sweet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a correlation between kind of nervousness and sweet, or just like he wasn't typical.
I wasn't gonna stop fidgeting and sitting, whatever.
Yeah,
the fuck.
He was like fidgeting and he was really trying to have conversation with me.
Right.
Mm. And at one point you realized this
and you're like, yeah, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to turn towards
him.
We talked a little bit
and I was pretty mean to him, mm-hmm. but what normal guy comes up to a girl at like, I don't know, probably 11 or 12 at night and is like, I'm normal and I'm alone and...
The courting and mating rituals are very confusing.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. But so, I love that in New York, the craziest fucking biggest city, the concrete jungle that is New York, you're walking alone and the risk in just, hey, how, because that seems like such a small town kind of invitation.
To me, it's not.
New York is like you meet in a bar after doing coke in the bathroom or something.
Right.
It's romantic looking back. But at the time, I was like, he will chop me into pieces.
Yeah, you're dead.
Why is he so...
Well, also...
Wanting to engage with me.
So you go for a beer, or you go for a drink, or you order the bottle.
I was wearing a mint green Western shirt with spurs on it.
And, I like it.
She made fun of it, or called attention to it at least. And then I said, stop making fun of my spurt, because it's got spurs on it, and it's a shirt.
Yep.
And somehow that worked. Maybe it was the delivery.
I was like, what a cornball. Maybe he's not dangerous.
So you were looking for non-dangerous.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny.
New York, man.
The qualities I'm looking for are just non-dangerous.
Well,
all right. Which is a good quality.
He was like, come have a drink with me. And yeah. I was like, I've been out. I went out early. And it was like 11 or 12 at this point. I was like, I don't really want to. And he's like, come on. And he kept asking me. And I was like, no. And then he got up to walk away and was like,
slowly creeping away backwards
and like being goofy. And my friend turned to me and was like, please just go have a drink with him. She was like, I think you like him and he seems really sweet. And I was like, okay. And she's like, I'm Googling him to make sure he's a real person. And if
a real person?
And she was like, and if I can't find you, she's a hologram. You know,
When she agreed to have a drink with me, we were like 15 feet apart on the sidewalk. Yeah. And I was like, yay. And
he
acted like we would run to each other and then
running
hug.
To me.
And she goes, no.
Which is the right response.
I said, we're not doing that. And he was like, will you hold my hand? And I was like, sure, I'll hold your hand.
Oh, my God.
This is great.
Okay. I'm not mean. I was just worried about getting murdered. That's all.
It's completely understandable you being reluctant.
Yeah. Which are very different things, by the way. I'm not mean. I'm just worried about getting murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And rightfully so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so the friend. So, and how far was the bar? It was close?
It was right around the corner.
Okay. So you
go
to the bar.
We were sitting there. We talked just a little bit. And he was like, I think you're a really good person.
That's
I remember
great.
He said that, and I was like, I don't know how you would gather that, because I haven't been that nice to you, mm-hmm. but that's really sweet. And then I told him I had to go to the bathroom, and he was like, I love you.
No, that's not how it happened. She goes, I have to go to the bathroom. And I was like, okay, give me your phone number now. So if I lose you, I can find you again.
He did tell me to give him my phone number so that I couldn't leave.
And then it all sounds creepy in hindsight.
No.
But then while she was in the bathroom, I was like, I think I'm in love with this person. I don't know. That's crazy. I mean, even me, who's a crazy person.
What was going
crazy.
On in your life at the time where within the span of 45 minutes, I'm assuming, you can say to yourself, and I'm not saying it wasn't right.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, what was your previous dating? Where are you coming from? How are you feeling in your life prior to?
I had dated a ton. I had been with a lot of the wrong people. Right. I had, you know, all that stuff. And I'm older. Yeah. So I was like, I've never had this happen before.
This might be the most amazing story ever.
And I was comparing it. And I was like, I know I've made mistakes before, but this feels different. This feels real. And I'm old saying
that. In 45 minutes, it feels different.
Yeah.
It feels real.
So
in 45 minutes, you can make this decision.
This is what I said to myself.
I'm not saying you can't, by the way. I'm just...
I was wasn't sure
this
either.
Is great.
I didn't think I was sure, but I was unsure enough that I said, you know what? When she comes back, mm-hmm. I'm going to say it out loud. And when I say it out loud, I'll know if it's real or not. And if I say it out loud and it's wrong, I'll be like, you know what? Sorry. I thought that was true and we can cut it off now because that was crazy.
Right.
But if I say it out loud and it feels right, then it is right. And yeah. that is what happened. I said it out loud and I was like, oh, I definitely mean it. And then we have been together ever since.
So after he says, I love you, your reaction is?
I didn't really know what to think. I was like,
did it feel good though? Did it feel genuine? Did it feel weird?
It did. I did feel like he was being very genuine and yeah. I was like, well, I'll never see him again. Mm-hmm. Sort of. I mean, I kind of thought I was like, this might be a line or maybe he really feels this. I don't know. And I was like, sure. I was like, I think more people should say that when they feel the urge to say it. Mm. And,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think it sounds like this has been a long time coming for both of you, mm-hmm. and hopefully it'll be a long time running.
It was almost, which is a track,
which by the way, sorry to interrupt, which is a track from the Tragically Hip from Road Apples. It's
back
called
to you.
It's called Long Time Coming.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, it's called Long Time Running. But the verse goes, it's been a long time coming, it's been a long time running. And it should be your song. Here it is. It's quite beautiful.
We could talk for so much more, but the problem is we're out of time.
Are we really?
Sad.
No.
We're not? We
really?
Can keep talking?
We took a break in there.
You know what? We don't. This is a beautiful song to go off on.
It is.
Yeah, five more minutes.
Five more minutes, okay.
Let me explain something to you. I was able, this is, I don't talk about this a lot, but I'm going to tell you because I feel like we're in a safe space, and this is the perfect song to listen to. Not safe space, but you know what I mean. Anyway, so Gord, the lead singer, mm-hmm. means everything to me. He's an amazing, he's like David Bowie.
He yeah. sounds you know like a mean? Real smoke show.
He's a sweet, he's an introverted, extroverted, complicated, simple, like he's a contradiction. He's a paradox at all times. He's super smart. He's interesting. He's passionate. He's yeah. So anyway, I love this man. So I got to meet him a couple mm-hmm. times.
Wow.
And I got to spend about 3 hours with him.
Oh.
In the green. I was lucky because I knew the manager of the band and he kind of insisted on bringing me back and I was apprehensive because, you know, meet your heroes kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I got to actually talk with him for about 3 hours and we passed a joint around and we talked and I was just spellbound. And he was sweet and he was everything. He was more than you can imagine.
That's good.
So great.
I was so scared you're going to be like, he's a fucking monster.
But I still love him.
Yeah. So this story takes a turn. He is diagnosed with a very particular kind of brain cancer. He ended up having a seizure in 2015, and they announced it. And his last album. So the last album came out, and they decided they're going to go on this one last tour. He essentially has, on average, after surgery, I think it's about 3 years to live. Right.
Wow.
People with this particular brain cancer. So they announced this huge tour, and I immediately call in favors because I got to go to at least three of these shows, mm-hmm. and I bring three of my favorite friends to each show, and it ends up being this spectacular extravaganza. Like Canada goes crazy, and they broadcast the last performance live. And Ron McLean from Hockey Night in Canada, he's down covering the Olympics, and he introduces it, and then they perform live. And I was at that last show, and it was amazing. Anyway, long story short, Gord died about a year ago.
Oh,
yeah. So it's quite a sad story, but at the same time, it was like he's this figure that kind of united Canada for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Canada remains quite united, but it was kind of a beautiful summer. So I remember canceling a bunch of jobs and just saying, I'm going on the road with these guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
Anyway, thanks for having me, guys. We'll talk
to
you.
No. We didn't say you could leave.
That's such a good story.
You
almost never hear about people meeting, like, their idols and it turning out okay.
I'd met him a couple nights before and in Los Angeles, and because a friend knew I was a huge fan, and there was this after party thing, and I was trying to get out. I really had no intention, genuinely, of mm-hmm. wanting to. And so I got kind of ushered over and introduced, and then she said, John's a stand-up comedian, and he had questions about Bill Hicks. I guess he was just getting, like, kind of getting into Bill Hicks and mm-hmm. stuff. And I said, well, I don't know a lot about Bill Hicks, but I have, this story gets long, so I can't tell the whole thing. But essentially, so 2 nights later, I'm going to Vegas to see the band again, because I'm obsessive. Mm-hmm. And so the second I see him, and I'd met Gord for maybe 2 minutes that night. So that night, I meet him again. He turns as I come into the green room and goes, hey, John.
Oh. Like, oh.
So right away it starts there.
Wow. And yeah.
But anyway, it goes crazier because I ended up corresponding. Anyway. He's a great person.
That's amazing.
That makes me want to get into them.
I like their sound.
Yeah, I'll give you. Too.
Let me draw up a playlist because it's a hard introduction to the band. Unless you grew with them, I can appreciate why people look back and go, I don't know. Because if you start with album 13, it's good. It won't work the same way.
Yeah.
Right.
But you also shouldn't start with the first album in a way.
Yeah.
Well, let's.
At this point,
we will publish your playlist and our listeners can get into it in that way.
Yeah. All right.
That'd be great.
This is a great challenge for me. I'd love to do this.
Yeah.
I'd love to put together my idea of what. Yeah. Okay.
We'd love it. But thank you so much, John.
No,
and
thank
you. We're
going
to get into the hip. Do they call them the hip?
Yeah, they do. Okay. That's great. You nailed it. I was once told that.
It sounded natural.
Someone once told me they said in the West Coast they call them Tradge. And I'm like, there's no fucking way that's true at all. There's no way. There must have been three people that said that.
Oh, they're hella Tradge.
they're the hip. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you guys for having me so much. And it was nice to hear your story.
Yeah.
It's a little bit adorable.
We'll do the longer version sometime. With all the sex details.
Okay.
All right.
You guys have...
We're trying. We're trying to have sex.
Okay. Wait, what?
One day you'll be ready. Yeah.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Can you be at peace?
The soft spot.
This podcast was brought to you by Starburns Audio, produced by Land Romo, and was engineered by Matt Brousseau. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts.